I've got a message that I want to share for a few minutes to really focus us on the Christmas story and why Jesus came. During the month of December, many of us will see and hear the slogan, Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm glad that someone coined that phrase to keep us focused on Christ in Christmas. But I want to share another thought with you in this message. We celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas because he left all the comfort of heaven and came to earth as a man so that we might experience rebirth. In other words, we are the reason for the season. That's why I've called this message, It's All About Us. Consider these Bible verses. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. It's all about us. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Or how about Matthew 1:23? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's all about us. So, at Christmas, we rightly celebrate Jesus as the Christ. But he didn't come to be celebrated. He came to save. He came to save us, you and me. It's all about us. Consider John 3:16. Now, the first time I heard John 3:16 was when I was 19. I was hitchhiking around Australia and I'd hitched a lift with a truck driver in northern New South Wales. And a couple of hours into our journey, we were involved in a head-on collision with another truck. The two guys in the other truck both lost their lives, and the truckie I was with and myself both went off to hospital for a few days. And then to recover from that accident, I ended up in Sydney with this truckie and his wife and their sons for a number of weeks. They had recently become born-again Christians, and of course they shared the gospel with me. After a few weeks, they were heading off to church on a Sunday night, and I asked if I could go with them, and they said yes, I'm sure they were delighted. And I went along, and that was my first experience of a Pentecostal church. It wasn't a big group of people, but boy, were they happy. And we sang some songs, we clapped, we waved our hankies in the air, all sorts of really weird stuff. And then the pastor got up to preach, and he said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. Don't worry about turning to your Bibles to find that because we all know what it says. And I remember just sitting there as this young 19-year-old bloke, very new to the whole Christian thing, and thinking to myself, I wonder what John 3:16 says. And so I found out in the message and I ended up walking up the front at the end of the message and making a decision to follow Jesus. So let me tell you what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In other words, God gave Jesus to the whole world, to us, to change our destiny, that we shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so I want to spend a few minutes really answering the question, what did Jesus come to do for us? You've probably sung the answer many, many times in that famous Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I want to draw two lines from that carol that answer the question, what did Jesus come to do for us? Number one is that God and sinners reconciled. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Now, as we read through some of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we do need to point out that it was written in patriarchal days. There's lots of references to man and mankind and the sons of earth. They are, of course, all-inclusive terms, but today we'd refer to them as people or all human beings. But of course, this was 1739. When Charles Wesley wrote the words to Hark the Herald Angels Sing and put it to a melody written by Felix Mendelssohn nonetheless. And so let me make a few comments here on this line by line. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. The word veiled means to be shrouded, or if I could use some 2021 terminology, I would say masked. God came with a human mask on, if you like, to show us what he was really like so we could see the Godhead, the Trinity in human form. Hail the incarnate deity. The word incarnate means to be embodied or enfleshed. Maybe you've had chili con carne at points in time. That literally means chili with flesh or with meat. And so we could say that Jesus is God con carne. He is incarnated in the flesh. Pleased as man with men to dwell. In other words, God was delighted to dwell with people as a human being. Jesus, our Emmanuel, which we've already read in Matthew's gospel, means God with us. You see, the very best way for God to reunite or to reconcile people with himself was for God to come as one of us. At the front of our house, Christy and I have a fish pond. And we have actually two fish in there. We had more. They've either died of natural causes, or the bird that lives in the tree at the front of our place has swooped in at various times and pecked away at some of the fish. And so we've lost most of them, but we still have two, and we've had these two for years. And so these two fish and I have quite a strong bond, particularly in the winter. I go out there and I have a look at them swimming around in this freezing cold water. And compassionately, I want to swoop in there and pick them up and bring them into my nice, comfortable, warm lounge room and put them there in front of the fire just to warm them up. But I know the act of love and kindness in doing that would, in fact, kill the fish. And so I leave them there and they swim around, and every couple of days I go out there, and when they see this giant shadow, they often swim toward me because they know they're about to get a sprinkling of manna from heaven dropping out of the sky. They're fish flakes. And so if I wanted to communicate with those fish, though, it would have to be more than me standing above the fish pond yelling out, "Hello, fish! Love you, fish! You're awesome!" They wouldn't know what I was talking about. The only way I could really communicate with those fish and demonstrate my love for them was actually to be born as a fish, which means I would have to leave my nice, comfortable, warm lounge and my lovely, comfortable bed, and I would have to be born into a fish swimming around in freezing cold water, waiting for some manna to drop out of the sky, hoping that Christy would remember to feed me as well. So there I am, I'm swimming around, and then finally I can communicate with these fish and they could know what I'm really, really like. And that's what Jesus did for us. So that's number one. What did Jesus come to do for us? He came to reunite us, to reconcile us with God. And secondly and finally, born that man no more may die. He came to abolish death, of course, not just through his life, but his death and resurrection that we commemorate and celebrate Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But in relation to abolishing death, the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels, says, "Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth." The verse I read earlier, John 3:16, is part of a dialogue between Jesus and a Jewish teacher named Nicodemus. During their conversation, Jesus told this guy, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, Nicodemus was confused by Jesus' statement, not because he didn't understand the terminology. The Greek term, geneo anothen, means literally to be born from above or to bring forth from above. It was in common use in the first century. This expression was used to identify major life changes that brought a dramatic shift or change in someone's life. And there were six ways in first century Judaism where a person could be born again. Number one was a Gentile converting to Judaism. Number two was to be crowned a king. The third way was the Jewish coming of age, the bar mitzvah for boys at the age of 13, and the bat mitzvah for girls at the age of 12. The fourth way to be born again was when you got married. Number five was to be ordained as a rabbi, and number six, to become the head of a rabbinical school, which you could do at the age of 50 to train other rabbis. The first two, of course, didn't apply to Nicodemus. He was already a Jew, so he didn't need to convert to Judaism. And secondly, he would never be crowned a king. He wasn't part of the royal family. But the next four did. He, as a Jew, had had a bar mitzvah when he was 13 years of age. He was married. As a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin, he had to be a married man. As a member of the Sanhedrin, he was also a rabbi. And Jesus referred to him as Israel's teacher in John chapter 3, indicating that he was the head of a rabbinical school training others to become rabbis. And so Nicodemus had already been born again four times, and in his mind, he couldn't be born again, unless by some miracle, of course, he could recommence the entire process. Hence his statement to Jesus, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus' response to Nicodemus' statement is this: "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." And so here Jesus is talking about two sorts of birth: birth of water or flesh, and birth of spirit, a spiritual birth. And so born of water is natural birth. It's what happened when our mums gave birth to us. It's flesh giving birth to flesh that ushered us into a earthly kingdom that we live in. For Jews, natural birth, being Jewish, meant that they had a guaranteed right to the kingdom of God. Jewish law stated, and this is based on Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 21, all Israel has a share in the world to come. And so being part of Israel was a guarantee of eternity in the kingdom of God. Being born Jewish was enough. They depended on their heritage. And I dare say that many Aussies, or if you're watching us from another country, probably many people in your country do as well. We say, "I'm okay, I was born in Australia, it's a Christian country. I'm okay, I was born into a particular denomination. I'm Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, Pentecostal. I'm okay, my parents were Christians. I'm okay, I've been baptized, christened, confirmed, dedicated, I go to church, I do the right thing," etc., etc. All of which is very good. But according to Jesus, if we rely on these things, we're missing the point. Jesus taught, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. That is a spiritual birth granting access to a heavenly kingdom. Nicodemus could not rely on his birth, his culture, or his religion to ensure him a place in God's kingdom, and neither can we. What makes us a child of God is spiritual birth. Jesus was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Born that man no more may die. It's not referring to our bodies, which of course will die at some point in time. It's referring to our spirit. That is the real you, that which lives in your body, that which will live on forever, all because of Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you to place your trust in him? The best Christmas present that you'll ever receive is the presence of God, because he did it all for us. If you are already a follower of Jesus, I encourage you at this Christmas time to rededicate your life and to commit your life afresh to following him into and through the new year. And if you've never done that, can I encourage you to consider that at this time, to become a follower of Jesus Christ, to experience that rebirth that Hark the Herald Angels talks about and the Bible talks about as well, and dedicate your life to become a follower of Jesus Christ. If we can encourage you in that way and help you along the journey, please feel free to click on the link that's in the chat feed right now, or if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll find a link in the body of the notes under the video. You can click on that, it'll put you in touch with us. We would love to send you some information about the Christian faith and also post you out a Bible as well to get you started on your spiritual journey. And so I hope you're encouraged by that message. Remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, but he didn't stop there. It's all about us. That's what he did for us, for you. Be encouraged by that. So on behalf of Christy and myself, I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas from us, from our family, and from the leadership and staff and board of Bayside Church. Have a wonderful celebration. Stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you in the new year.